for us to have a conversation continuing through the Gospel of Mark. We're in the series of the human condition and this idea that we're sort of jars of clay, but inside of this jar of clay, heavenly treasure, that sort of interplay between my frailty and God's divinity and how the two are necessary. Where I feel weak, that's exactly where God's strength sort of supplements, and so I can become really aware of the strong hand of the Lord, and that process is incredibly powerful. Hey, Dons, I see you're in Kloof in Durban. Nice to have you online. Marissa, good morning. I think your daughter was, Hannah was in the Cape Town congregation. JP, good morning, also in Cape Town, and Tristan from down the road here in North End. So, John chapter 2, Jesus heals a man who's let down through the roof. I've been using this for a couple of days. I see God's using it through churches everywhere. I logged into Stephen Furtick the other day and on Sunday, and there he was using the very same passage of scripture. Here's the conversation I wanted to take you to in verse 8, after Jesus heals the paralyzed man. There's a little conversation that takes place between him and critics. It says this: immediately Jesus knew. You see, some of the teachers of the law and the critics were saying, who does he think he is to forgive people? Immediately Jesus knew, verse 8, in his spirit, that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, get up, take your mat and go home. And of course, he got up immediately and did so, praising God. I want to talk to you this morning. Good morning, Angela. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of the source of your knowledge. In this passage of scripture, there are a couple of sources of information. We all have different sources of information. We've got sources of information that are centered in our senses. We've experienced it ourselves. We've seen, we've heard, we've tasted, we've handled. And that's probably the lowest level of information or knowledge, is what we've personally experienced, limited to our own experiences. And you can have one bad experience on something and someone else has a good experience, so it's unreliable. And there's a certain level that the Bible says, be careful not to make life decisions based on information supplied by your senses, because you could have a bad experience, see a negative thing, hear a negative thing, and that can't be the limitation of the framework of your life. And then there's a second level, and that's information that comes to us from our emotions. We don't feel a certain way, or we do feel a certain way. It's almost something one can't help, and one says, I feel happy when I do this or that. It gives me joy or pleasure. That's one source of information. But Jesus is referring to a different kind. He says he sensed something in his spirit. You know, that's higher grade spiritual language, but it's really, really powerful. This idea that God talks to us in our spirits. It's a non-verbal kind of talk. It's an instinctive kind of talk. And today I want to talk to you about letting God talk to us in our spirit, allowing him to nudge our spirit so that it has an influence on our emotions, our soul, and it has an influence on our senses. Our senses are the lowest level. Our soul is there in the middle. And then our spirit really leads us as we are tuned into God. And Jesus senses something in his spirit. He figured out in his heart, in his spirit, what was going on around him. And I wanted to talk to you about what God does to talk to us in that way. Firstly, your senses will, your spiritual sense will give you a burden. You know, a burden is something that bothers you a little, but not in a crushing way. It bothers you enough to make you pray about it. That's when the Lord is speaking to you. And something is prompting or bothering you enough so that it causes for you to pray about it. You see, God gives us these burdens is so that we can carry them, carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God gives us a prompting in the spirit that feels like a burden. It feels like something bothersome, and its result should be, I want to pray about it. If that's not the result, then it's just guilt or condemnation or some other kind of thing where it paralyzes you, and that is not from God. And today, if you feel a burden for something, something that bothers you enough to want to bring it to God, take the moment to say, Lord, I just bring this before you. Because that's how our relationship with the Lord is built, through this conversation we have with him. The second thing is that sometimes God gives us a burden or a prompting, something that bothers us, a pickup in our spirit, to prompt a behavior or an adjustment or an action. And sometimes we feel like, oh, I need to do this. I got to do this. In fact, I can't go to sleep until I've done this, or I've made that call, or sorted this thing out, or fulfilled the promise I said I was going to make. That's when the Spirit deposits a prompting in your heart. An unction was the old King James way of putting it. And that way, God moves us forward in our spiritual relationship, and we feel the Spirit speak. These are not audible words, they're promptings. And they're not senses, something in my personal experience. And they're not emotions, something I would have normally felt in a situation like that. They are extraordinary to all of that. They are spiritual, they are divine, and they're a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a third kind of burden, and that is when something doesn't go away until a breakthrough happens. And I know that one's a bit heavier to carry, but when you've got something bothering you about your family or something bothering you about your business, you have to keep it going in prayer until you see the source and the solution. When those two things come together, you go, I have a word from the Lord. How do we use the language of I have a word from the Lord? When I see the source of a conflict and I see the solution to that source, I can say, I've got a word from the Lord. Something that brings together what was broken with something that God has brought together in health. And so these two ideas together are really incredibly powerful. That the fact that Jesus was able to send